they don't really have a tradition for wearing a family plaid or playing the bagpipes in the Orkney Islands of Scotland. In just a bit, we'll hear how an impressive collection of prehistoric standing stones helped to define the dramatic archipelago of 70 islands leaning into the North Sea, looking toward Norway. Sometimes you need to get away from Google and your phone and talk to complete strangers when you travel in another country. Listeners share their stories from when the kindness of strangers saved the day in their international travels. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves enjoying the views of one of Europe's magnificent capitals. The Danube River defines the two major halves of Budapest, and it's been a lifeline for Hungary in its more than 1,000-year history. We're joined now by two guides from Budapest who specialize in taking visitors around their beautiful city, Peter Pultzman and George Farkas. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
What does the Danube, the river, mean to the people of Budapest? George?
I think it's one of the places where locals love to come down. It doesn't have to be a tourist. One will come down and just enjoy the view, which I do every day. I'm just so appreciative driving home maybe 11 in the evening and looking over to the castle district and see all the lights there are on. And I'm just saying how lucky one can be to live in Budapest.
It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? Peter, how about you? What does the Danube mean to you?
You have a body of water that you can always go back to. It can be a lake, can be a river in any city, but yeah, Budapest is blessed with the river. And the other good thing is that it runs through the heart of the city, because a lot of cities have got rivers just kind of way out of the city center. In Budapest, it's just right in there.
And some cities do not face their rivers. The river comes through and it's almost a problem and they've turned their back to it. But it feels to me Budapest faces its river, even though it is quite a wide river.
Hey, the Danube runs through a lot of cities. There's Vienna, there's Bratislava, there's other capital cities there as well, and not necessarily defined by the river. But I think in Budapest, the river really defines the city in
true
many ways.
George, today Budapest has striking bridges. I mean, there's just mighty bridges. Describe the bridges that define Budapest.
I think I love them all. Obviously, the most famous one is the Chain Bridge. That has so many legends that we're play with. For instance, one of them, we take the ladies over and we believe if we have an honest one on our side, the lions will come alive. And we always make a joke that they've been resting for quite a bit.
So you've got these big ceremonial right, lions at the end of the bridge.
Yeah,
you just take your girlfriend across there and sadly, they don't come alive.
No, they don't, I'm afraid. And they always say, so, well, how about the man? And we say, we can't have them working for the man because they'd be too busy and they would lose their voices.
Oh. So you've got very important lions on your bridge.
Right, yeah. And then they span over the river. And obviously, besides providing a connection, it gives you a chance to walk across and look from each side and enjoy them.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
And Peter, what do the bridges mean to you in Budapest?
There's two that I like particularly. One is Liberty Bridge. It's two bridges down from Chain Bridge. And I really like it because there's lots of youngsters sitting on that bridge all the time in the evening. So you turn around and you see all the lights. You see the entire city. And it's the same thing with Margaret Bridge, which is one bridge up from Chain Bridge. You just turn around and see the entire city. So that's a beautiful thing. I really like the view.
So when you go to Budapest, be sure to enjoy the bridges and remember there's that passeggiata scene. Do you know the word passeggiata, paseo, in Italy
paseo
and Spain?
Spain,
you know, people are out strolling. What's the paseo thing in Budapest? Are people out in the beautiful early evening hours?
They are, and I've got some good news for you because the city is very seriously talking about just going back to where it started from, which is people walking along the riverbanks. So they will be rejuvenating a lot of areas there. We have got one on the Pest side. We call it the Promenade, right, George?
Yeah.
It runs from pretty much the Liberty Bridge up to the Chain Bridge. It's two bridges, and that's where people would come out, take their photos and eat ice cream, take their kids over there. Buddha side has got a longer stretch, but because it's longer, it's not necessarily just one stretch that people would go.
Most of the riverbank actually has been recognized by UNESCO, so it's a protected site.
Okay.
And now they're moving to make it more pedestrian. And this is where, for instance, the European Union comes in that provides us a lot of funds to basically create or to be able to build the dreams of the architects, even though some of the dreams that you can see are quite elaborate. And
well, that's interesting. So there's a sensitivity or a sensibility about the architect had a vision and we need to let our city evolve while respecting the vision of the architect.
Right. Not always considering traffic.
And there's some modern day realities.
And how people are going to get from A to B.
Well, anytime you have a pedestrian boulevard, there's traffic consequences. Well, yeah. But I think people are favoring people-friendly and bicycle-friendly city designs.
Exactly.
Is that happening in Budapest now?
Overall, the city, yeah. I guess Hungary is the third country in the European Union with the most amount of people using bicycles. And that's definitely true for Budapest. So we have got a tremendous amount of bicycle lanes. In lots of areas, they actually brought in separate lanes for bicycles, no cars allowed. Mm-hmm. Parliament area is one of these. It used to be full of traffic, and right now it's all pedestrian, and people are enjoying being out there. It's much, much more accessible right now.
And Peter was talking about the Danube Promenade that is on the Pest side. And remember, Buda is the hilly side, and Pest is sort of the modern commercial side. The venerable palaces and old church and so on is up on the hill on the Buda side. But Pest is where you've got the busy commercial boulevards and so on. And of course, you've got this big Parliament building. It's sort of like our Capitol building and London's Halls of Parliament put together. It just feels like a little bit of London fell into Budapest. Describe the Parliament building.
Absolutely. And it's not accidental because our architect studied in London and took Westminster as a model. It's actually almost the same size. Imagine we only have, you know, a population of less than 10 million right now, and we've got this gigantic big Parliament over there.
It does feel a little bit oversized for Hungary, I've got to say.
Well, but I'm proud of it. It's a beautiful building.
Well, we must say it was oversized for current Hungary, but if you think in turn of a century, obviously the country
absolutely.
Was much, much bigger. So that's what it was
built for. Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Because was this built as part of the 1896 celebration?
Oh, yeah, it was the times of expanding and when they realized that they need one. And I always say to people that you might feel that it's too big, but we must realize that our edges were cut off, but they can't shrink
so
the Parliament.
We should remind our listeners that was about 20 years before the end of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, right?
Yeah.
With World War I. And in the late 1800s, Austria and Hungary, together Budapest and Vienna, ruled a mighty and multi-ethnic empire. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're getting a view of one of Europe's most beautiful cities, Budapest, from its pedestrian-friendly riverfront promenades that run on either side of the Danube. Our local guides are George Farkas and Peter Poltzman. On the Pest side, we've got the little bit of London Parliament building, and on the other end of the walk, you'd have this amazing industrial age market hall. George, describe this market hall for us, because it's one of the most dramatic for shopping for produce in Europe, I think.
Oh, it's great. And I love how it was an answer to make a beautiful, elegant and chic city. Obviously, the designers thought that they can't afford to have boxes and traders and all those out on the street anymore, so they decided to pull them on the roof.
So that was it. I didn't know that was an initiative to clean up the streets by providing a good place.
Because there was a competition between Budapest and Vienna, which town can come out with a nicer cityscape. And then Budapest.
So Vienna has this sprawling open air market, the Nachtmarkt.
Right.
And Budapest has taken all that Nachtmarkt chaos and put it in a big
under a
protected roof, iron and steel.
Which looks like a train
glass.
Station, but it had never been a train station. It was built to
it's
be a market.
It's got to be one of the great sights in Hungary, I think.
Oh, yeah. People enjoy it. We enjoy it. Locals shop there. I think Peter does. He just lives around
just
the corner
from
there.
Yeah. Well, we pick up the kids from the kindergarten, from the nursery, and have them walk over to the market hall. They pick out something. I get to eat it. There's a beautiful strudel place. Hey, boy, so, it's gorgeous.
Peter, let's say I'm going to visit you in Budapest and you take me to the big market. Where would you take me? What would we buy?
First of all, there's three levels to it. I really like downstairs because that's where the pickled vegetables are.
Oh,
and that's one thing that locals love. I would definitely take you there.
The pickles.
The pickles, yeah. Oh, I love
them. Why so many pickles in Hungary?
It's just traditional. When there were no refrigerators, people used to pickle everything for the winter. If you want to take your vitamin C, you don't go to a pharmacy to pick up vitamin C. You go down to the market hall and then you buy pickled vegetables. And awesome, it works. So
really?
I can prove it, yeah.
Well, when I was in Russia, it wasn't anything about vitamins. It was something to eat with your vodka.
Well, yeah, that's good for certain
sanitation.
Things, too. Yeah, sanitation.
Okay, so you got the pickles. And what else do you have in the basement?
And there's fish as well.
So the stinky stuff is in the basement.
Stinky stuff is in the basement. And the good thing about the market hall is that it's a real market and one of the cheapest ones. Recently, they ran an article in a Budapest newspaper that talked about the good butchers in the city. And among the top three, they were in the market hall. And it's one of the cheapest places. So I would definitely take you around, show you all the knuckles and the hoofs and the tails and everything that you
knuckles,
may not...
Knuckles, hoofs and tails. Yeah. Oh, you're stoking my appetite.
Once I met a chef from a five-star hotel, and he talked about seeing stuff here in the market hall that you cannot get in Western Europe.
I think what's also great, the ambiance between the shopper and the shopkeeper is still there. So they recognize each other instead of going to these big supermarkets.
You feel the neighborhood.
So they understand each other. They know what one or the other is looking for.
And Olga's calling from Vancouver in Washington. Olga, do you have any memories of your visit to Budapest and walking along the Danube?
Yes, I was just recently there. I decided to play tourist because I'm Hungarian. And I decided just to have a fun walking down on the Danube on both sides. And I came across a memorial for the Jewish people with the shoes. Very moving spot to go and see. It's really hard to describe. You have to be there to see it.
So I understand it's like bronze shoes in the pavement. Or describe the memorial to us, Olga.
Yes, they have shoes that are like men's shoes, women's shoes, high heels, little children's shoes. Mm-hmm. And people, I noticed, were leaving the rocks like at Jewish memorials, but also flowers, little mementos. But it's just, you can imagine the history behind it, at least what I understood, was that the Jewish people were brought over there, they were shot and then pushed into the Danube, but they were asked to remove their shoes.
Oh.
And so the shoes are, at least that's how I'm understanding it, that's what the shoes are representing.
Oh, that
them.
Is very, very poignant to think that they said, we don't want to waste the shoes, and then they would kill them and throw them into the river.
Yes, so very sad spot, very moving place. And I think it's good to be reminded of what happened in the past.
It sure is. Olga, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with George Farkas and Peter Pultzman about the Danube as it flows through the great city of Budapest. If you could both just share with me, let's pretend it's your birthday party. You've invited a bunch of friends and you're going to go down to the Danube and you're just going to have a good time. What are you going to do, George?
I would probably go down to the edge of the Margaret Island that we haven't talked about yet and just sit by the musical fountain and open up a bottle of champagne and enjoy it there.
Happy birthday on Margaret Island. That's the playground of Budapest. And Peter?
What came to mind is at the very southern edge of the city, there's a beautiful music hall. I would love to go there. You can party there as well, and you can listen to music.
Which music hall is that?
And this is called, the abbreviation is MUPO. It's Palace of Arts, I guess that's how it translates.
So it's
a
new cultural center.
It's a new cultural center in
MUPA concert hall.
Exactly.
The MUPA concert hall.
A beautiful thing.
Peter Pultzman, George Farkas, thank you so much for giving us a better understanding of Budapest.
Thank you for having us.
It's actually just as close to the Arctic Circle as it is to London. Up next, a guide from the Orkney Islands shares his favorite Neolithic standing stones and prehistoric tombs that you can visit in his island archipelago just off the north coast of Scotland. And a little later, we revisit the times when the kindness of the local people was a godsend in our listeners' travels. You can share your own travel tales with us by email. We're at radio@ricksteves.com.